Morning. I'd like to greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ and also with the words of the Galatians 1:3, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to extend a hearty welcome to each of you that have come to worship this morning, and if there's guests here, a hearty welcome to you as well. The first portion of the service will be done in the Low German language, and then after a congregational song, we'll continue in the English language. Et möchten von dir Samaris in den Namen Jesus reisen und auch mit der Wehe durch Galater Kapitel 1, Vers 3. Gnade sei mit euch und Friede von Gott, unserem Vater, und dem Herrn Jesus Christus. Amen. Et möchten alle herzlich willkommen heiten, und wann hier jassen, an sie mad sind, wir freuen uns, dass ihr gekommen seid, und wir heiten ihr doch herzlich willkommen. Der erste Part von unserer Botschaft von dir wurde plottig sein, und dann nur ein Versammlungsleid, wo wir noch eine englische Botschaft haben. Zum Anfang, oder den Thema, was ich mich für das Samaris gewählt habe, auf Englisch sei wir Forgiveness. Oder wo habe ich mich nächsten Wort zu Gott? Und zum Anleitung möchte ich lesen in Matthäus Kapitel 6, Vers 14 und 15. Wie Jesus sagt, denn wenn die Menschen, was ihn beleidigt haben, zu Gott holen, so wird ihn himmlische Vater ihn doch zu Gott holen. Wo wenn die Menschen nicht zu Gott holen und sie ihn beleidigt haben, so wird ihr himmlischer Vater ihn doch nicht zu Gott holen. Wer wird gemeinschaftlich zu beten? Lieber Gott und himmlischer Vater, wir kommen für den Herr und Gesicht. Und Herr, wir sagen dir Dank für diesen neuen Tag, wo du uns geschenkt hast. Wie wir diese Gelegenheit haben, in dein Haus zu kommen, einen anderen Mut zu merken, nur dein Wort Dien Wort abzudanken, nur dein Jesus horchen. Und Herr, ich bete, dass ich mich open sein, zu deiner Jesus-Leitung, und wenn er reden wird, nicht meine eine Gedanken sein, aber Herr, dass du durch mich reden möchtest von der Samaris. Möcht dein Jesus jeder Hort anrühren. Und Herr, du weißt auch, was jeder einem fehlen wird, und möchtest du dort persönlich zu jedem tauloten. Herr, wir beten auch dich, was im Hospital sein, was krank sein, und schwer beladen senden, und wenn er denn dein Wille ist, ihn zu heilen, und wenn nicht, Herr, holen stark und beständig in der Glauben, bei den Tiet, wo die unterleisen des, von der irdischen Körper, und der Hüse rupen des, für alle Ewigkeit mit dir im Himmel zu sein. Herr, wir beten auch dir, wo du nicht an eine Entscheidung gemerkt, wo die nicht an angenommen ist, Herr in Heiland, dass du nicht wirst träghauen, dass du dein Geist an ihre Horten widrieren, und bei deiner Tiet, wo sie sich angeben, nur die. Und Herr, gib uns, was die Sünde Menschen beenden tun, der Maut und der rechte Wied, in anzureden und nur die zu leiden, und dort du allein kannst dadurch geirrt worden. Herr, wir danken dir, dass du hier mit uns bist, und wir geben diese Botschaft ganz eben in deine Hände, möchtest du den Feind sein Wort bringen, dass er uns nicht verstehen kann, aber dass wir ganz und nur die checken und uns an die holen und die Leute zu uns reden. Das beten wir in Jesus' Namen. Amen. Wir wollen nun ein paar Versammlungsleiter haben.
Auf mein erstes Log, Nummer 358. Nummer 358.
Found out, Ben, that high. 421, mein Gott, ich muss in meinem Sinn.
Ik zei net deze boodschap reed me uit en deed en mijn toestoon door de reed ernstig en diep in mijn hart naam. En wanneer ik dan even denk dat en dat je leeft veel en dat is niet alleen, wanneer ik eenmaal vlecht bit troubelhaft en dat zacht leeg, ik hou de nek en wat te goud van een beledigd aan, op een woord verhoud we ons met een jaren nog her en dat is een maandje maar niet leeg. De andere ziet dat ik vielen, ik had het gehoord zijn, want de mensen die hem te goed gehouden hebben, en wat je dat niet vergeten kan, dann hast du dort nicht die Gold zu holen. Und da habe ich dort in der Schrift nur gesagt, und da kann ich nicht fingen. Gott allein, er ist der Einzige, der uns verspricht, wenn er unsere Sinn verjährt, er trägt es weit hinein, ist der Wasser vom Osten ist. Und an anderer Stelle redet er davon, er versinkt im tiefsten Meer und denkt, der nie nicht war. Aber die Schwester, du und ich sind nicht Gott. Wir haben einen Menschen sein. Und für irgendwann einer vergeben wird, oder immer, wenn einer vergeben wird, dort ist ein Vernehmen an einem sein Sinn, an einem sein Hort. Ich hau den Jan je dort zu Gott. Und weil ihr das findet, der Wort dort auch brücken, und sie meldet es, uns dort immer zu erfrischen und uns sehen, und vielleicht auch sogar sein, hast du den dort wirklich zu Gott geholt, wenn du auch Gott weißt, dort du hast. Und wenn die findet, mit dem Spiel kann er uns Leben, uns in Vertwilung bringen, dann kann ich uns auch die Friede fortnehmen, wo Gott für jeden will haben. Wenn wir vergeben tun, dort ist wichtig, eine Prüfung Gemeinschaft zu haben, aber das meint nicht, dass dann den nächsten Tag mit wir auf Fußritt vor mit den Janien zu kaufen und proben, eine tiefe Gemeinschaft zu haben. Vergeben und zu Gott zu holen, ist sehr wichtig. Aber einmal sind da Sachen, wo einer dann vielleicht auch Gott besser auf ist, weil er nicht zu viel Verkehrschaft mit seiner Person hat. Und im Matthäusbrief, dort lehrt Jesus uns, wo zu Gott zu holen. In Matthäus Kapitel 18, von Vers 21, durch was in 35. Vers, da sagte wir Petrus, kam nur Jesus, und er sagte, wenn mein Bruder sich wie in mich versendigt hat, und ich am zu Gott holen, da was sehr mehr, ist dort genug. Petrus, habe ich so eine Gedanken wie das macht Sinn. Aber was Jesus ihm beantworten hat, das war schwer für ihn zu begreifen. Jesus sagte ihm in den 22. Vers, ich sei nicht zu dir, aber 7 Mal, aber 70 Mal, 7 Mal. Und dann gibt Jesus ein Gelegenheit. Sagt er, das Himmelreich, erst ist ein gewisser König, wo er die Rechenschaft nehmen, mit dem, was er für ihn schaffen hat. Und es ist ein Punkt zu verrechnen, wurde einem Firm gebracht, der wie ihm 10.000 Pfund schuldig. Und als er nicht genug hat, um das zu betonen, dann sieht es Tjernik, dass er so verkauft worden, seine Frau und seine Kinder mit ihm, und alles, was er hat, um diese Schuld zu betonen. Das schneidet dann, schneidet sich an Firm, betet ihm an, prachet ihm und sagt, hau ihr Geduld mit mir, ich würde das alle zurücktun. Und es ist Tjernik, das sagt, dann hat er Erbarmung, er leidt ihm los und er streckt ihm die Schuld. Aber dann ging das selbe Knecht, nur dem, was er ihm was schuldig war, der wir ihm 100.000 oder 100 Silbergroschen schuldig, er lädt seine Hände ab ihm, er wehrt ihm und er sagt, tu mir dort, was du mir schuldig bist. Und das Mädchenknecht, der schneidet sich an für ihn, sprach er ihm und sagte, hau ihr Geduld mit mir, ich würde dir das alle zurücktun. Aber das erste Knecht würde nicht Geduld haben, aber er legt diesen im Gefängnis schmieden, was der Schuld soll betont sein. Und wenn die anderen Mitknechten sahen, was er fertiggegangen wäre, hatten sie ein Leid sein und sie gingen nur den König und vertauten ihm, was er geworden wäre. Dann raubt das König den ersten Knecht nach sich selbst, und sagte, du schlechter Knecht, ich strecke dir all deine Schuld, willst du mich freuen dich. Hast du nicht so, dass ihr barmen kann mit den Mädchenknecht, dass ich auch ihr barmen kann über die? Und dann wird das König ehrlich, und er gibt ihm eben nur das, was er mir zuleiden, was alles betont wird, was er schuldig wird. Dann sagt Jesus zu Latzen in 35. Vers, so ist er auch mit meinem himmlischen Vater, wenn die von den Horten nicht wollen, einen anderen, sein Bruder, oder am beleidigt auch, zu Gott holen. Wenn wir hier noch checken tun, dann sehen wir, wie wichtig das ist, dass wir dort ernst sein tun, was für eine Schuld die in mir gestreckt ist. Wir haben eine Sinnschuld, was da anmählich wir mit einem Geld oder einem haben Gott am Tisch zu geben, da wir anmählich dort zu betonen. Und wir sehen hier, Petrus hat doch flächerregte Tau siebenmal zu Gott holen. Jesus sagte ihm 490 Mal. Und weißt du, das ist in einem Tag, was er von reden hat. So wir sehen, kriegen dort, wofür uns beleidigt wird, wofür uns wird vielleicht ordentlich behandelt, am Hort, macht wie Fuß zu Gott holen. Und das ist wichtig, dass wir den Nächsten zu Gott holen, dass Jesus uns auch hat, zu Gott zu holen. Was ein Kurt, was das Gleichnis uns lehren, der ist, wenn du ihn eigentlich wollen, senden, unseren Nächsten wird zu Gott zu holen, so wird uns auch nicht unsere Sinn und Schuld zu Gott zu holen wollen. Und wenn wir da wirklich überdenken, dann, wenn deine Schuld oder meine Sinn und Schuld nicht wird zu Gott zu holen, wo soll wir am Weich haben? Wenn wir zurückgehen und das Gleichnis, dann sehen wir dort der erste Knecht, der wir eine Samm schuldig, wo einer wird sein, anmählich zu betonen wir. Hey, wir sind Knecht, 6000 Pfund schuldig. Das wir in ein Pfund oder ein Silbergroschen, wir in Deos Lohn zu deitiet. In ein Pfund, wir 6000 Silbergroschen. So wie sein in sein Lebentiet hat er nicht kontinuierlich verdienen, am Tod zu betonen. Und doch, Herr Prachat, hau je dort mit mir, ich will dir das zurücktun. Und ich glaube, Felten, dass wir dir in Ecken so feiern, dann als in Sender. Wir prachen Gott, hau mir dort zu Gott, ha Erbarmung über mir, sie genädig. Und wir wissen noch, wo wir uns einzig mal feiern, dann, und wo Jesus unsere Sinn so strecken deid, durch sein Tod, durch seine Abstunden am dritten Tag. Er ist trägt um Himmel gefahren, uns eine Stadt reit zu merken. Er schickt den Helden Jesus, was er in uns wohnt. Wenn wir daran denken, der Geduld, was Jesus mit dir und mir hat, so wenig Geduld haben mit dem Nächsten. So wenig wollen wir sein, den Nächsten zu vergeben, dass Jesus uns wiesen, der das Helm Kriegsang. Der hat noch keiner gefragt, um zu Gott zu holen, und auch dann betet Jesus an uns in himmlischen Vorrat und sieht, wir jaffern, denn sie wissen nicht, was sie tun. Weißt du, Geschwister, wenn einer beleidigt ist, der einem, wer vielleicht ordentlich behandelt hat, einer muss am Sein, der sagt, Fuß zu Gott holen. Wenn der Jan ja nochmal ankommt, merkt seine Sache fein, dann haben wir dort an uns Hort auch ganz aufgestreckt, dann ist das leicht zu sein, ich hole dir das Gott. Dann habe ich auch Landtrieb. Verjeft. Aber wenn wir eine Hut in uns Hort drehen und über den Nächsten und nicht wollen sein, den dort zu Gott holen, wem dürfen wir stehen? Nicht der Janja, der uns beleidigt hat, wir dürfen uns selbst den wir stehen. Wir nehmen uns der Frieden und der Freude fort, was Gott für uns will haben. Und wir kriegen allein Frieden und Freude durch dass Jesus in Jesus, oder durch den Heiligen Jesus in uns Hort wohnt, und dort wie nicht eine Hut oder eins hat über den Nächsten holen dürfen. Und dort ist wichtig, dass wir dort ernst sein dürfen, das Römer 3, 23 uns lehren hat. Wir sind alle gesündig. Und wir sind alle kurz gekommen an die Herrlichkeit von Gott. Und wenn wir dort ernst sein dürfen, dann sollen wir wollen uns den Nächsten zu Gott holen. Und dann wieder in den Römerbrief in Kapitel 6, da redet er von der Tollung für den Sinn ist der Tod. Aber der Gold von Gott ist das ewige Leben durch Jesus Christus ans Heiland. Wenn wir dort verstehen, dann können wir nicht wirklich ein so schlammert über den Nächsten holen. Denn das ist durch Gott seine Gnade, dass wir hier Rat sagen. Das ist nicht ein Ding, was du und ich allein mit uns selbst tun können, dass wir uns in der Erlösung oder den Himmel kämpfen. Das ist durch Gott seine Gabe. Das ist nicht eine Sache, wie wir uns Wort mit meinen können. Uns himmlische Vorrat, hat Kreuzsilber oder Meier Erbarmung, ist das irdische Kennecode über den ersten Knecht, wo der Kämpfer am Aufgebracht werden und Frauen am Haugeduld. met me. Ons hemelse Vader, haf een veel dieper leven is een mens jemon wat voor ons aan. En wanneer we niet wel ons zaten te go te houden, en ons hart vlecht schwarte gedanken over de nächste dreun doen, dan mocht die vrouw komen, was die werkelijk je raad. Hast die werkelijk Jezus loten en die hart nankomen? Hast die werkelijk je loten den helden Jezus, die lenken en leiden en alle dingen im Leben. Wanneer wens ons te go te houden, dat je hebt een eindelijke vrede, wat alleen door Jezus Christus komt. Wel ons niet kort ran met een hoed dreun over de nächsten. En Jezus, hij leert ons in Matthäus kapitel 5 en vers 44 en 45, ik was zijn, had leef voor jene vriend. Zijn die wat jene beleidigen doen, dat goed voor die wat jene niet leggen doen, bid voor die wat jene misbruiken en beleidigen doen. Dan zegt hij weer, krak dat woeran, dat jene mochten de kinder zijn van jene voren wat in hemel is. Dan hem ook ze de zon te schien op de wijzen op de gouden, hij schakt de reen op de gerechte en ongerechte. Wanneer we in God gaan, wat er allemaal leef heeft, we zullen die en ik niet in de persoon zijn, wat er allemaal leef heeft. De leef meent niet dat we een blinkend uw draaien, of zin, of de ongerechtigheid, maar we gaan een leef voor de zeil van de persoon, wat er vlecht niet voor Jezus leven deed. We gaan een leef voor de zeil van de persoon, wat ons beledigd heeft. En we beden voor hem, en we gaan de bastard gaan, voor ons. Zo als we hier zijn in Matthäus 5, is dat wil we de nächsten behandelen doen, wil we een en ander te God houden doen, dat is werkelijk wat ons als Christen apart zaten deed van de weltmensch. De weltmensch, of die wat niet Christen zaten, die waren de nächsten goed behandelen wat ent fijn behandelen deed. Maar wanneer we ent mishandelen deed, ent beleidigen deed, zij waren ook rachie even. Zij waren het menigste te doen, die niks en trick te doen, zoals en als behandeld geworden. En dan weer de toe, we gaan vlecht alle geleerd dat onze Vader uitwendig te beden. Maar hebben we de werkelijk moet diep even gedacht, wil we aan dat onze Vader beden doen, verjaf mij, zoals ik mijn nächsten verjeven doen. Wel we daar diep even denken. En wanneer we zijn, ganz gelijk toe en dat gebed, wanneer ik niet wel eens zie mijn nächsten wat te go te houden, Heer, dan brukst u mij niet, mijn zin te go te houden. En wanneer we daar diep even denken deed, wanneer ik vergeving ga voor de zin, dan zijn we op weg naar de hel. Wel we onze zaak merken. Wel we de nächsten te go te houden, is er iemand die hem te afbraken of niet, dat is niet het wichtigste. De wichtigste is dat du en ik en ons God wel ons zetten de nächsten te go te houden. Is dat leicht? Niet. Voor mij is het niet. En ik kan leicht zijn, jo, ik hou die er te go. Maar waardoor ga ik dan met de zaak om nodig? Dat is hoe we als Christen werkelijk gaan laten ons licht zien, wanneer we voor de nächsten de beste willen, beden vinden. En beden dat de Heer ons wordt helpen, zonder persoon te zijn, wat hij ons geleerd heeft, en wat hij ons heeft vergesteld, door zijn deelige leven, dat hij hier op Eden gewoon deed, wel wichtig dat is, allem leef te bewijzen. Amen. Ja, we even gaan naar het nächste poort van onze boodschap. We hebben hier vandaag wat prayer requests, wat ik wil metdelen, dat zijn drie stuk. Ik wil nu om eerst het voor twee. En aan het schluss van we beden doen, dan wil ik naar de derde prayer request metdelen. De eerste prayer request is pray for Edward en Elma Klippenstein. Elma is in Bounty Trails Health Center. She has a tumor in her head, which they cannot operate on, and it is causing her immobility and making it very difficult for her to think and to remember things. Pray for Edward and the family as they navigate through this difficult time in their lives. Also, we're invited to pray for Abe and Betty Gertsen. This last week, Abe had a massive heart attack, and he had open heart surgery this last Friday, and he is not doing well. So pray for his recovery, if the Lord so wills. Pray for peace for Betty and the family as they are there to support Abe and as they also navigate through this difficult time in their lives. So fadit, what am I yuntim zan tiam fadil samari sivitakon, knaiti met mihan, and bait and inom des herren. Mokta Heron Zafila Yibeda here in Ansinadisan. Amen.
Please take your blue books and turn to page number 345. Hold the fort. Can we stand, please?
Trusting the Lord has heard our many prayers, we're encouraged to continue with our service this morning. For an opening passage, I'd like to read one verse out of Matthew 11, verse 28, where Jesus invites and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Life is not always easy. Life is sometimes handing us things that are difficult to handle, difficult to work through. And how do we handle these different things in our lives? Sometimes God allows these things for a reason and for a purpose. We might not always understand things that happen. They might nearly devastate us, but God often does this to grow us in our faith, to teach us more about his divine leading. And we know that not all troubles and trials, or we know, pardon me, that troubles and trials are part of life. Whether we will like it or whether we want to admit it or not, it is reality. In the book of Job, in chapter 14, verse 1, Job says, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble." He's basically saying, you can't avoid it. The day you're born, there's time for difficulties in life. But how we respond or react to these difficulties can make all the difference as we go through life. Also in the book of Job, just a few chapters back in chapter 5, in the first part of verse 7, Job says, "Yet a man is born unto trouble." You know, what Job faced, I hope and trust no one in our life will ever need to experience. Where he lost his entire family, where he lost all his material things. You know, to lose material things is one thing, but to lose your children, the ones that you have brought into this world, the ones that are your flesh and blood, is something we cannot even imagine. And then later, how he was physically sick as well, and how he stayed strong in his faith. So when we think of what he all went through, and we also know the end of the story where God blessed him abundantly after all these trials. But you know, to write what he wrote in the midst of these difficult circumstances is not surprising. Jesus also recognized that we would have trials and difficult times in life. In the book of John, chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So Jesus recognized the reality of trials, but he also says, in me there is peace. And he says, be of good cheer. In other words, don't let this drag you down. I have overcome the world. You know, and as a Christian, if we put our trust in Christ, with his help, we don't focus on the difficulties that sometimes come our way. And if we come back full circle to Matthew 11, 23, or 28, where we started off, we look at the verse, and it has three parts to it. First, come unto me. And then secondly, who is to come to him? All ye that labor are heavy laden. And then the third part of the verse, I will give you rest. There's a promise there. There's an encouragement. And Jesus' teaching is very clear on how you and I face the things that are handed to us. So firstly, let's look for a bit at number one, about taking our burdens to the right place. Or as Jesus said, come unto me. What is one of the first places that we sometimes tend to take our concerns or the things that we face in life? Very often, it is worrying. Most people tend to go in this direction, but it is totally the wrong place. We are, by God's word, forbidden to worry about things in life. In the book of Philippians, in chapter 4, and verse 6, God's word says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know, if you and I would translate this today, we'd probably say, don't worry about anything. In other words, don't go there. But whatever there is, by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Take your burdens, take your difficulties to the Lord. Don't try to figure it out on your own. Also in the book of John, in chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You know, it is probably easy for those of us that have grown up in a Christian home to accept the faith, to invite Jesus into our heart. We believe in him. We trust him. And yet so quickly, we often are guilty of turning to worry. Jesus says, trust me. I've got it in control. Don't try to figure it out on your own. And lots of people are very often like Martha in the home of the two sisters of Mary and Martha. If we turn to the book of Luke in chapter 10, verse 38 to 42 is a story of where Jesus came into a certain village and Martha invited him into her home. And Martha, she was, I've sometimes said, if they had Mennonites back then, she was a typical Mennonite lady, all caught up in serving, putting out a spread, and being a good host. You know, this in and of itself isn't wrong, but she got a little bit perturbed by her sister Mary that wasn't helping her. She was sitting, it tells us, at the feet of Jesus, and she was engaged in conversation. She was in the right place. She was where the Lord desires us to be. And when she reprimanded her sister, what did Jesus say to her? Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You know, let's be the Mary in our Christian life. Let's sit at the feet of Jesus. Let's ask him, how do you want me to react in whatever circumstance I am in? Another thing that we sometimes turn to is friends. You know, that is not bad. But you know, sometimes, and I don't like saying this, friends won't help you. And now you might be wondering, where am I going with this? Job. We read a few verses in the book of Job. He tried to tell his friends about his burdens, but in Job 13:4, Job says they were like physicians of no value. You know, the problem with friends sometimes is they will not tell you the truth. They will allow you to wallow in self-pity. They will sympathize with you when those are the last things that you need. You know, a true friend or a real friend is someone who tells you the truth, even though it hurts deep down. And this is scriptural. In Proverbs, in chapter 27, the writer says, first of all, in verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You know, friends often sympathize with us, which is what we desire when we're going through a difficult time. But reality, what we need is empathy. You know, maybe a little bit of a push to get out of that mud puddle of self-pity and getting all wallowed in the mire and getting discouraged. They need to sometimes be honest with us. And further, in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 27 and verse 17, he uses the analogy of a file sharpening a piece of metal or a knife. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know, a true friend will sometimes, what we might think when we're going through a difficult time, hurt us. But when we recognize and realize that they're analyzing things They're a gift from God. They're seeing something we maybe aren't seeing because we're feeling sorry for ourselves. And they might push us just in the right direction, and then later we are grateful. That is what a true friend is about. Another place we often like to go when there's difficulties or burdens happening in our lives, we want to run away from the difficult circumstances. But reality is, we can never run away from difficult circumstances in life. In the book of Romans, in chapter 12, the writer is encouraging us, we might say, to look our difficulties square on in the eye. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, living the Christian life is not always easy street. And sometimes we have to sacrifice the big I, me, and myself. We have to sacrifice our pride. And we have to acknowledge, Lord, I need you. I can't manage this on my own. So instead of trying to run away and running into deeper trouble, let's, in other words, run to the Lord and ask him to help us. Another place where people might go when they're going through burdens in life is they sort of fight the They sort of tend to fight and deny that there is even a problem or a difficult time in their life. They fight what they're called to face. And you know, we might say we're practically going against the Lord's will. Often we don't understand why, but he allows these burdens or these trials to grow us in our faith. In the book of Proverbs, we have some beautiful advice. Two of my favorite verses in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, trusting wholeheartedly, we might sometimes feel, where am I coming in on this? But the most important thing you and I can do is to trust. We might never understand. That's not the important thing, but to trust, acknowledge God. And then the last part of verse 6 has a beautiful promise. He will direct your path. The Lord will lead you and guide you. And later on, looking back, you will recognize God was in this all the way. Let us remember, as we started off in Matthew 11, 28, the invitation, come. Jesus invites everyone to come to him for help. In Hebrews in chapter 4 and in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, don't be afraid. He says, come boldly, tell the Lord whatever is burdening you. Come to the throne of grace. It's not a place of condemnation and where God scolds us and says, oh, how could you mess up? Look what I all extend to you, what I hold out for you, your my love and my mercy and grace, and yet you mess up. No, that's not the God we have. He's the God of grace. He gives us mercy, and he will help us in our difficult times. Please, let's remember to always go to him. His love and his concern for us is evident. Also in the book of Luke in chapter 12, verse 32, where Jesus says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You know, it is not hard to imagine when we read these words of Jesus' love, his tenderness, his care for each of us. Fear not, little flock. You know, very tender, loving, and kind words. Let's not be afraid to come to Jesus when things are hard. When things are good, come to him, praise him. He is our Father, and he is interested in every detail of your life and my life. He's our shepherd, and he will look after our needs. It reminds me of the 23rd Psalm, where the Lord, where the psalmist David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." You know, it's a very personal statement, and I trust we all can honestly say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And when the Lord is your shepherd, he tells us in verse 2, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." You know, our needs are supplied. In verse 3, "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." You know, even though we might be burdened down, where our soul might feel so heavy and so difficult circumstances, he says, "He leads me in the paths of righteousness." He restores us for his name's sake, that the Lord may be honored and glorified, not trying to gain attention for ourselves. And then he goes on in verse 4 and talks about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, "I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." He doesn't talk about going into a low place in life and staying there, and as I mentioned earlier, wallowing in the mud puddle of self-pity. But he talks about going through this dark and difficult time in our lives. And then in verse 5, he talks about, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." You know, he says, despite of all the naysayers that are around you, despite of the people that might ridicule you for your faith in the Lord, he says, "I will anoint your head with oil." And he says, "My cup will run over." The Lord will help us. That gives us inner peace. And then verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, even though there's burdens, even though we are going through hard times, God's goodness and mercy is always there. And it will be with us till we take our very last breath on this side of heaven. And then we can dwell or live in the house of the Lord in heaven, not just for 40 or 80 or 90 years, but forever. You know, what a wonderful God we have. Then we come to the second part of Matthew 11, 28. First was the invitation, "Come unto me." And then the second part, "All ye that labor and are heavy laden." You know, brothers and sisters, be rest assured there is someone who cares about your situation, and that is Jesus. In 1 Peter in chapter 5 and verse 7, we're encouraged, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." You know, don't just give him a few of the what you might consider this I can't do and that I can't do. Give him everything. Why? Because Jesus loves you. Jesus cares for you. And when he says, "Casting all your care upon him," to me, when I read the word casting, it's not just sort of reluctantly, "Yeah, Lord, I'll give you a bit of this, I'll give you a bit of that." Give him it all. Give him everything. He can handle it. Jesus understands. Jesus walked through darkness. He walked through loneliness. He was in need. He had difficult times in his life. He went through death. He was hated. He was loved. He was accepted. He was rejected. You know, those are all things that we might sometimes be facing in life. But Jesus has been there. He knows exactly what you're going through, and he cares for you. In Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 15, we read, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." You know, the writer here well remembered the times of the Old Testament. If you had messed up, you had sinned, you went to the high priest, you confessed, and he would determine what type of sacrifice you needed to make on the altar. The high priest probably very seldom understood what the person was confessing. But today, you and I, our high priest isn't a person sitting in a confession booth. Our high priest is Jesus Christ in heaven. And he understands. He was tested in all aspects of life. And he did this without committing a sin. How wonderful for you and me to trust in this high priest, Jesus Christ, who understands us, who is sinless, and who will help us through every difficulty. So don't ever dare think Jesus doesn't care. Don't think he doesn't understand. He understands better than you and I often understand ourselves. And he is the one who can do something about the situation. He doesn't just know what we're going through, but he can change your and my thinking about what we face and how we will navigate through this difficult time. His power, his divinity, is deeper than our minds will ever imagine. In Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 20, we read, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." You know, you and I might sometimes sort of think things through and think, well, if this could happen and that could happen, and you know, then I might be able to navigate through this difficult time. But he is able to do exceeding abundantly. You know, our imagination can't even go where the Lord is. He will help us. Put your trust in him. In the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 40 and verse 12, Isaiah says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehendeth the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance." You know, Isaiah was just given a glimpse of who God is. You know, and God, he measures the waters in the hollow of his hand. You know, how much water can you and I hold in the hollow of our hand? Not very much. God measures the waters on the face of this earth in the hollow of his hand. You know, our mind can't even imagine how big that hand is. He has measured the heaven with a span. A span is from the tip of your thumb to the tip of your pinky. Could be 5-6 inches. And yet God measures the entire universe with a span. He comprehendeth the dust of the earth. He knows whatever measurement he uses to measure, whether it's pounds or kilograms, he knows the exact weight of the entire world. He has weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. You know, then we think God doesn't understand. God created you and me. He knows every detail. Let's put our trust in this great God. You know, then if we sometimes think my problem is too big for him, no, it's not. He is way bigger than our minds will ever imagine. And then lastly, the last part of the verse was God's promise, "And I will give you rest." How will he give us rest? It might not always be the same. Sometimes he may choose to remove the burdens entirely. In the book of 1 Kings, in chapter 17, verse 8 through 16, we have the story of how a poor widow feeds Elijah. Here's this widow, one child, her food is run out. In other words, she's going to make a last meal for herself and her son and then resort to starving to death. Along comes Elijah, a man of God, and he asks her for her food. You know, can we maybe just for a moment imagine what might have run through her mind? You know, where she says, "This is all I've got." And Elijah says, "You know, make the meal and give to me, and then you will also eat." You know, and she might have been thinking, "I barely have enough for the two of us, never mind the third person and him eating first." But we see the miracle of how God relieved the burden. The barrel of flour never ran dry. The container of oil kept on giving oil. God provided instantly. God removed her burden. But that might not always be the case with you and me. Sometimes he will relieve us in our burden. There is the time where God will make it lighter and more bearable. Reminds me of how Ruth was allowed to cross the path of Boaz in the book of Ruth, chapters 2 and 3. You know, where her mother-in-law, Naomi, her father-in-law, Naomi's husband, died. Her own husband died. Her sister-in-law's husband died. The three women were left alone. A difficult situation. And where Naomi says, you know, I'm going back to my people. You ladies, you stay here with your people. And how Ruth, you might say, pledged her allegiance. And she says, you know, your people are my people. Your God is my God. And she went back home to Naomi's homeland. And how God provided for Ruth, how God provided for Naomi. Did he take away their difficult circumstance? No, but he provided for them through that difficult circumstance. And then sometimes God will give us comfort. He will sort of give us peace, even if the burden is still there. And I believe this is the most common way that God helps us to carry the load that has been placed on our shoulders. Reminds me of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, how he says, you know, he had pleaded for God to remove the thorn in his flesh. We're not quite sure what that thorn in the flesh was, but he says, three times I pleaded, and God's answer was in verse 9, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God will help us. He's not going to let us get all discouraged and down and out. And as we praise him for all he's helping us, that inner joy and that inner peace will be restored. So however Jesus helps you in your difficult circumstances, one thing you can be sure of, he will do right for whatever is specific need in your life. He won't look on us and say, this is a blanket coverage, this is what sort of is good for the entire group. He will help you, he will help me personally. He knows each of us individually. In Romans, in chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We might not understand, but we know it's going to bring honor and glory to God. And then lastly, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 and 20. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Some closing thoughts. What has been handed to you today? My encouragement is, bring it to Jesus. He knows how to handle what has been handed to you. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you, Lord, for your holy word, for your promises that you'll always be near to us. And Lord, forgive us for sometimes doubting your abilities, your promises. Forgive us for questioning the way you lead us. And Lord, we look to you for wisdom, for discernment, for encouragement. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you showered out upon us. And Lord, as we leave this building today, and as we meet up with people, help us to be a blessing to them. Help us to let our light shine in such a way that for those who have not committed their lives to you, that they will be drawn to you. Help us to share our personal testimony, that they too will realize they need Jesus in their heart. Lord, we thank you for your presence here. We thank you for the many blessings, and we thank you in advance how you're going to bless us and make us a blessing. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen. I have another prayer request that was passed on to me this morning. To pray for Abe Drieger, Abe and Hilda. They attend this church. Abe is in Boundary Trails. He has been diagnosed with lung cancer, and they would love our prayer support. So for those that are able, let us kneel for a time of silent prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our many prayers. Amen.
Again, take the blue book, turn to page 447. Send the light.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless wind. Send a light, send a light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to sing. Send a light, send a light. Send a light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send a light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send a light, send a light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send a light, send a light. Send a light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send a light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send a light, send a light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send a light, send a light. Send a light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send a light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send a light, send a light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send a light, send a light. Send a light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send a light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
Good morning. Just like to highlight a few things out of the bulletin. First of all, there's a supper fundraiser this next Saturday, 4:30 to 7:30. That's for Abe and Helen Gertson. Abe had an accident that rendered him unable to work for the foreseeable future, and Helen stays home to care for him. So this fundraiser is to help them financially. And also condolences to Ike and Tina Wall and the passing of Ike's mother, and also to Nettie Wall and family on the sudden passing of husband and father, Jake Wall, who was an usher here in our church. So let's keep these people in our prayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Jake. We've come to the conclusion of our service this morning. Thank you for your prayer support, and may God richly bless you for that. Let us bow for the benediction in both languages. Der Herr segne dich und behüte dich. Der Herr lasse sein Angesicht leuchten über dir und sei dir gnädig. Der Herr hebe sein Angesicht über dich und gebe dir Frieden. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may now go in the peace of our Lord.